It's 90.3 FM, listener-powered KEXP. I can clear my throat now. We can both have coffee. Another thing we have in common.
That's for me, too.
The only way to stay awake, tons of coffee. And we were lucky enough to have catch Ben Gibbard in town, actually. When we set this up, too, I was doing Audio Oasis, and I was playing the set of All the Things You're Up To. I went, damn, we got to get him up on the show and just try a little of everything. And do you find it hard to translate some of those songs, Death Cab song and Postal Service, into an acoustic set? Because I know we try to get the whole Postal Service thing up here, and you were still working on how to do that. And, is that a good challenge, or is it almost impossible?
I mean, most of the Death Cab stuff is, I mean, I starts on acoustic guitar, so it's not too hard to translate that. But I'm going to play one of the Postal Service songs that I kind of figured out last night. But I was trying to figure out a bunch of them just in general, like recently, to see if I could play them. And I mean, there's so much of them are built in the arrangements, Jimmy's arrangements and the programming stuff, that it's hard to...
Right.
It gets really boring if you try to bring it down to an acoustic guitar, I think.
Well, talk a little bit about the Postal Service. I still, every day when it's played, I think I get at least one email or call saying, is that the guy from Death Cab? You know, people are they hear the voice, but it is really a different sound for you and for Death Cab's sound. Talk a little about how that came up, just even the idea of it. When did that start?
Well, the song that the first song I played in that last little group there is a song called This Is the Dream of Evan and Sean that was this kid, Jimmy Tamborello, who's rooming with a friend of mine. I was going down to L.A. to just go on vacation and hang out with some friends, and he emailed me. He was like, hey, you know, I have this electronic project. Do you want to do a song? And I was like, well, you're down here. I was like, yeah, that'd be fun. So he sent me the music for Evan and Sean, and then, you know, we just kind of worked on it. And the idea was, you know, sprung at some point of like, hey, you know, maybe we could do like an EP or something like that, just do some more stuff. Because it was really fun and just really easy. I mean, it was... You know, it was kind of an effortless process to have somebody do the hard work, and then you just kind of come and just babble over top of
it. I see this is a trend developing.
yeah. It's, you know, all the hard work gets done by somebody else. It's kind of my MO. So,
good work.
But, and so we just decided to try to expand it out, and then some mutual friends at Sub Pop who heard about it were like, hey, we'd love to do a record. So that was kind of the motivating factor. Like, I don't think it would have gotten done with the quickness or the commitment that it ended up being if it hadn't been. There hadn't been a deadline, so to speak.
Did it kind of blow you away a little bit? Suddenly there's, oh, so we want to put it out. When it came from being something just a little fun, kind of side thing, to a real full-on
Release. It was exciting. I mean, I think that it was just exciting to, you know, that they were interested. And I was like, oh, yeah, let's do it. I mean, it was, I think if anything I said, I think it was more just like a motivating factor to get us actually working on it, you know. And it's been a lot of fun.
The reaction's been huge. I mean, and people are, it's getting bought up all over the place. It's been a very successful record. And does that surprise you any? Does it? Are you obviously happy with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, very happy. It's surprising. I think that, you know, when we kind of were doing it, I mean, it's, the record is just a big electronic pop record, and it doesn't, I don't think it takes any kind of, it's really easy to get into, you know. It's so. At least in my opinion, it's just kind of, it's just a big pop record. So I mean,
you don't have to dig deep into it.
Yeah, no, it's not. I don't think it's, you know, the heaviest thing ever. So I think I'm glad that people are enjoying it. You know,
the lyrics are really, but the lyrics are a little deeper than you're saying. I think I don't think you give the lyrics enough credit, because some of them are just, I don't know, they're just right on. I think they just hit the spot.
Oh, thank you.
And those have grown on me as the first time you hear it is a pop record, and you listen more and more, and you really pick up some of the lyrics. I think it's a much deeper record than even you think.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
So Sub Pop put that out. You got Barzook putting out your Death Cab for Cutie. And Post Parlo getting involved. Are you involved with some of the best labels around, you think?
I think so. I love Barzook Records with all my heart. I think that they're running an incredibly, incredibly good label over there. I love all the bands as people and as bands. And there isn't a more honest man in the world than Josh Rosenfeld.
So he's a good guy.
He's a really, really good guy. And we had... You know, we've been incredibly fortunate to have somebody who and everybody there too that's been working so hard for us and has been with us this entire time.
You're bucking the trend, though. I mean, the what everyone says is you can't do what you guys did on an indie label. You can't get that much popularity and sell records and make a living at it. But you kind of are holding the torch a little bit. Do you feel that? Do you know that? Because when you read, you're referenced all the Death Cab's referenced a lot, and as kind of a poster child for, well, this is how it can work.
You know, I just think we kind of found ourselves in a fortunate situation. I mean, it's, I really can't, you know, as I look back and just, you know, the lineage of this band to date, it's like, you know, we just did like what any other band would do. You know, we found, I mean, I remember sitting on a porch in Bellingham with Josh coming up and being like, yeah, do you, and we're saying, and you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to press 1,000 copies of this record. It's like, man, that seems like too much. You know, we need to press, like, can you press less than that? Because we're not going to sell 1,000 copies of it. And going on tours, you know, playing in coffee houses to, you know, in random Southern Californian locations to nobody at 1:30 in the morning and losing money and, you know, having vans break down. I mean, we just kind of, you know, kind of just been going at it, and you know, I can't really, I feel very fortunate for the position that we're all in, but I can't really quantify it or qualify it. I'm not sure which is the right word.
Years from now, you look back and tell your children. All right, we got Ben Gibbard up here, and he's going to play some more songs for us. We've heard a cover. We've heard a Death Cab song. We've heard something from the Post Parlor release.
Yeah, actually, you know, if I'm gonna put this guy on, so you may want to fill up some dead air. Gonna have to tune this up.
By this guy, what do you mean by that?
This is the capo that it always seems to throw this guy out of tune.
It's Ben Gibbard. He's live up here on the morning show.
I think I can. Okay, so I think this sounds in tune enough for the air.